just so people don't know, it's Michigan State, Kansas, and Arizona. So since you were going to make their decision Thursday or Friday, do you know where you're going in your heart and in your mind?
I do.
And now you're just waiting on the perfect moment to announce?
Yes.
Okay, and then your girlfriend, who's probably one of the best girls basketball player in the country, she said it was going to be this week. Is there some truth to that, or is it going to be later on?
It's probably going to be later on. Originally, it was supposed to be this week, but the way things are looking, I don't think so.
And the last time I spoke to you was a couple months ago. You said that Arizona had an edge. I know you went on a couple other visits. You went to Kansas and Michigan State. Are they now completely even, or is Arizona still up there?
I would say Arizona's still up there.
Then who here is recruiting you the hardest to come to school with them to play? You've got, you know, T-Ferg, I know he's got a couple schools that he's interested in. Miles Bridges, one of your closest friends. Who's talking to you the hardest here?
Definitely Miles, yeah. By far. By far. Daily. Constant.
Okay, so we should expect a decision in the next 2 weeks. Are you going to tweet out, like, I'm going to decide this day, or are you just going to...
I'm probably going to tweet out what day I'm going to decide.
All right, ladies and gents, boys and girls, welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Of course, I am your host, Al Martin, and we first off want to apologize for the technical difficulties to start the hour. We are in the old school studio of Earl Robinson. That's right back in the Dizzy. You guys know Talking Sports with Earl Robinson that aired for, 39 years. We are in that studio for today's show, just like we were last week on, I believe, was that Isaac Friday, I think? Yeah, that was
Friday. Yeah.
That was on Friday. They are recording some live music for Current State in our usual studio. So kind of a throwback show, but we had some technical difficulties. I don't know if we were on the air to start. I just kept talking. I don't know if people heard me on the air. I had to take our live stream down because I wasn't sure if we were on the air, but I am told that we are live and in full effect. So despite the technical difficulties, we are so glad that you are with us here on WKAR AM 870. We've got a ton to talk about. As you just heard in that montage to start the show, that was the voice of Mr. Josh Jackson. Yes, Josh Jackson, one of the top basketball recruits in the nation. Rivals.com got a chance to steal a bit of Josh's time. And, of course, he's out in Chicago right now prepping for the McDonald's All-American game, which will take place tomorrow. I actually tried to get Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press on this week's Current Sports TV, but he let me know not too long ago that he will be out in Chicago covering that game and, of course, covering the decision of Josh Jackson. Now, Josh Jackson, as you just heard, he has made his decision, all right? I mean, we're talking about the number one basketball recruit in the nation right now. Josh is a Detroit native who is a senior at Prolific Prep in Napa, California, and he said that he has made his decision but is going to wait a couple of weeks. Why? We have no idea. He's going to wait a couple of weeks before he lets the public know where he will be taking his basketball talents. And I tell you what, folks, if Josh Jackson becomes a member of the Michigan State men's basketball team next year, there is no question that this will be, and I believe already is, looking at the commitments they already have on paper right now, I already think is the best recruiting class that Mr. Tom Izzo has had. And again, you look at these names like Cassius Winston, Miles Bridges, Nick Ward. I mean, these are guys that are going to make an immediate impact when they get here to the program. Simple as that. You know, Miles Bridges, what does he list as? What, a five-star recruit. Josh Langford, five-star recruit. Cassius Winston, four-star. Nick Ward, four-star. This is, of course, according to 247sports.com. These are kids that are going to come to this program and, you know, it's pretty safe to say, immediately assume a starting position. Simple as that. So it wasn't a surprise to me that we got news yesterday about a few players transferring because, again, when you bring in that kind of talent, guys who are currently on the roster are going to have to take a backseat. And is that privy to their respective basketball careers? No, because many people who come to a Division I men's basketball program have a dream of competing professionally and getting paid to play the game in the NBA. That's the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate dream. So naturally, when you bring in a recruiting class that has already 2 5-star recruits in Bridges and Langford, then you bring in Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan and Cassius Winston, then Nick Ward from Columbus, Ohio, a 4-star recruit. Those guys are going to take minutes from individuals who will be juniors or seniors next year. Simple as that. So who's got to leave? Now, I will say it did not surprise me that Javon Bess transferred. The surprise for me more so came with Marvin Clark. Now, let's look at the stats here. Let's look at the numbers here. Let's just break it down really briefly. Javon Bess, he scored, 2.9 points per game, grabbed a little over 2 rebounds per game in 11 minutes last year. That's how many minutes Javon averaged. And Marvin Clark Jr., he averaged, 4 points per game, 2.5 rebounds per game in nearly 10 minutes a game last year on a Spartan team that legitimately could go 15 deep, 13 to 15 deep. I mean, this team was that deep. That roster was that good. And that's why a lot of people had Michigan State going very deep in this year's NCAA tourney instead of losing in the first round. And, you know, the conversation concerning Mr. Jackson is that, okay, when you look at the scholarships that were available before the announcement of Marvin Clark and Javon Bess, there needed to be a scholarship to free up. So we knew that someone had to get the boot, you know, whether being transferred or being let go. And now 2 scholarships just opened. So Michigan State is certainly going to push hard for Mr. Jackson. And I've let this be known as well. I mean, when you talk about Josh's decision, again, it's between 3 teams. As you just heard, Arizona, Kansas, and Michigan State. And according to that interview, Arizona has the upper hand because he has the best relationship with that program right now. But you also heard that Miles Bridges has been in the ear of Jackson for a long time. And with the McDonald's All-American game coming up, he was asked a question, who's been in his ear the most about coming to a certain school? And it has clearly been Mr. Miles Bridges. They believe they can do something special, and we may see Michigan State's own version of a possible Fab Five. We may see that. So when you evaluate, there's a few questions here that we really have to dissect. You know, the first one being, what is the roster for next year's Michigan State team going to look like? That's the big question right now. So we can break it down from position to position here. At point guard, of course, you're going to bring back Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Nairn Jr. Now, the thing about Tum-Tum is, Tum-Tum is one of the best defenders, arguably the best defender on the Michigan State men's basketball roster. But the thing about Tum-Tum is he doesn't bring much offense. We haven't seen Tum-Tum ever explode offensively. But he's a great defender, and he's so speedy. He can get out on the break and get others involved. He's got pretty good vision as well. So, along with Tum-Tum, you add Cassius to that equation. Got a chance to check out Cassius this past weekend. Of course, playing in the state championship games at the Breslin Center. Winning the first U of D Jesuit basketball state championship in school history. Cassius can ball. He's got. There's nothing really Cassius can't do. He can pass. He's got a great jumper. He's got a great first step. He listens, which is huge when you talk about a young stud who has the entire basketball world on its ear right now in the state of Michigan. And he's just a good kid. Good kid. And he's got a polished game from top to bottom. What you look for in a point guard, Cassius Winston can deliver. So when you look at the wings for this team, you know, guys who play, you know, the shooting guard position, you bring up a guy like Aaron Harris, who I think is going to be a vital part of next year as well. He can shoot the blood out the ball, the transfer from West Virginia. You bring in Matt McQuaid, who really turned a lot of heads as a freshman last year. His minutes continually increased because the kid is fearless. He epitomizes what a Tom Izzo player is. He's tough. He's gritty. He can also shoot the basketball. I mean, he's a guy who is going to go out there and give you 110% every single night. But now you add into the mix Josh Langford, great player. Miles Bridges, fantastic player. And then it gets, you know, when we look at these, the wing position, you talk about Alvin Ellis and Kyle Arns. Now, if anything, and I kind of agree with Joe, I saw Joe Rexroad write a piece about the situation concerning Marvin Clark and Javon Best's transfer. And he said that if anything, he didn't really, you know, if anything, I think he stated that Marvin Clark was fourth on his list of guys who were going to transfer from Michigan State. And ahead of him were guys like Alvin Ellis, as well as Kyle Arns, possibly, on that list. And I looked at Alvin Ellis, and Alvin Ellis is a guy who certainly started to click. Something started to click for Alvin as the year went on this past season. His jump shot was fantastic. He started to play solid defense. We even saw him diving on the floor for loose balls here and there. But something that stood out to me about Tom Izzo's end-of-the-year press conference, what was that, last week, the beginning of last week, was that Alvin Ellis does not love the game as much as he should. Simple as that. And he's not a guy who lives in the gym. You know, he's not a Denzel Valentine who's going to be in the gym from sunup to sundown. And he doesn't have that passion for the game. You don't see that passion. And that's one of the reasons I think why Alvin Ellis has struggled, despite there's been moments throughout his Spartan career that you look at and say, okay, Alvin can ball. Alvin can play. The kid can play. He just doesn't make basketball a priority. I think that's the exact words that Tom Izzo used. So then you look at the power forward position. Deontay Davis, if he returns, my goodness. If Deontay Davis, just imagine. I mean, Miles Bridges, Josh Langford, Cassius Winston. Throw Deontay in that mix. I mean, my goodness, how good is that roster going to be next year, especially if Deontay Davis stays? But if he returns, you look at the power forward position, you get Deontay, Kenny Goins, who had a great year last season, and then you add Miles Bridges in that mix. And as far as the big men at the center position goes, you get Galvin Schilling and Nick Ward. So that's essentially what the roster will look like. I want to get comments right now from our engineer of WKER's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, what was your reaction to hearing about the transfer of Javon Best and Marvin Clark?
I thought the Best transfer was relatively expected. I mean, Javon Best, he started the beginning of the season. Like I said, from that point, I thought that he might actually be a crucial component with this team going forward, because he played an important role against Kansas, getting this team off the mark really quickly, scoring 6 early points. But from then on, he just didn't see the same amount of opportunities, and he kind of squandered the ones that he did have. Now, Marvin Clark, on the other hand, I'll tell you what I look to, the Middle Tennessee game. I think because he hits one important three in that game early on when MSU was struggling so much, I think if he sees more than 4 minutes down the stretch in that game, he might stay. That's just a personal theory that I have, but I really think that Marvin Clark might have taken offense to that or something of that nature. And his minutes as a whole went down sophomore year from freshman year, and so did his production. So it doesn't surprise me necessarily that he was going. But like you, and like Joe said, I mean, he would not have been the first name on my list that I'd expect to transfer.
Right. It definitely surprised me a bit because, and you know, you look at Javon and Marvin this past year, they were victims of injuries early on in the season. That kind of hampered them a bit, and it allowed other players. Again, this Michigan State team was so deep that if a player got injured, you know, you had another player coming off the bench that could replace that individual and take minutes from him. So it was hard. If you got injured, it hurt you personally, your stock personally, because you had a guy who could replace you and come in and become efficient. And that was something that was so different about this year's Michigan State team.
Oh, yeah. Well, just look at Tum Tum. You and I were talking.
Exactly.
The second he went down, boy, this team cannot wait to have him back. They are struggling so much defensively without him. And then we see Aaron Harris step up.
Right.
And suddenly, Tum Tum starts getting in and only seeing 5 minutes a game because, just like you said, his spot was replaced by somebody who really took up that task and in some ways did it better.
Yeah, it was bittersweet for Tom Izzo because you want to have a roster like that, but trying to find, you know, minutes for everybody is pretty much impossible. And know what, you can never make anyone happy when you have a team that can go 15 deep. I mean, that's insane. That's insane. So, folks, what do you think about the transfer of Javon Best and Marvin Clark Jr.? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on the air, or even tweet me at Al Martin. And you can even add me on Facebook at Al Martin. Simple. And you can catch the live stream of our show right now. Now, I will say this, though, Isaac. When you evaluate the transfer of individuals from a school to another school, and again, you know, as I mentioned in our current sports, Quicket Headliners, also Michigan's Spike Albrick will also be playing college basketball elsewhere, and he has decided to transfer, saying, quote, "I'm not going to have beep anything. I wasn't going to let this define me. When I'm done playing basketball, I'm going out on my terms. I'm not going to go out sitting on the sidelines," end quote. But it's one of those things that when you look at, and I try to place, which is pretty much impossible to do, but I try to place myself in a guy like, you know, Marvin Clark's shoes or Javon Best's shoes when I hear stories like this, because again, the goal of a lot of players who go to a Division I program to play athletics, to go into athletics, is to possibly have a chance at the next level, you know, getting paid professionally to play that respective sport. And, of course, when you come to a Michigan State basketball team, a Michigan State men's basketball team, or you play for Coach D'Antonio with the football program, you certainly have that shot, because Michigan State right now is on a platform where you can showcase your talent on nationally syndicated programs like an ESPN, like Fox Sports, like the Big Ten Network, because it's a premier program in the nation. So when you come to a program like Tom Izzo's, and you're a very good player, because it's no doubt about it. Marvin Clark Jr. and Javon Best are basketball talents. They can play the game, or else they wouldn't be on scholarship here at Michigan State. And, you know, I remember the dialogue, you know, on Media Day concerning Javon Best. And Tom raved about how Javon Best was going to be an essential part of this team's success this year. Same thing with Marvin Clark Jr. Izzo praised those two players. But again, just happened to be a product of circumstance. This whole roster was pretty good. You can say positive things about everybody on this roster from top to bottom. So you add that to the fact that, okay, you get injured to start the year. So, you know, another guy is going out there and essentially, quote unquote, taking your minutes. Where do you find yourself on the roster? And the big thing is, the big elephant in the room is, okay, you know, guys like Bryn Forbes, Matt Costello, Colby Wollenman, Denzel Valentine, those guys are graduating. They will no longer be a part of this roster. But you have incoming Tom Izzo's best recruiting class. A few guys who could possibly go one and done. A few guys who, if the rules allowed it, could possibly make that jump from high school to the NBA right now. And you have to compete with those incoming freshmen for minutes when you already had to compete with this roster. So this is just a clear conversation of looking out for yourself. Simple as that. You know what I mean? Because I'm pretty sure Marvin Clark and Javon believe that they can possibly make a D-League appearance in the NBA, or possibly be a draft pick in the NBA draft if they are given the opportunity. So with that being said, you look to transfer elsewhere. They're just looking out for themselves here. So I don't want people, and I've heard this dialogue, it seems as though when we have a conversation about a kid transferring to another program, you have fans of that program getting a bit salty about it. But at the end of the day, these kids are doing what's best for themselves. And Tom Izzo talked about the situation of transfers, and we played the famous Larry Lage bite with Tom Izzo on the show like 30 times now, I feel like. And, you know, discussing, you know, what Deontay Davis should do, whether or not he should come back for another year or make his jump to the NBA. Tom is going to, despite what other people may believe out there, and I'm not saying that this is just my opinion. I believe that Tom Izzo looks out for his players, whether it's with this program or without. Sure, would Tom Izzo would have liked Marvin Clark and Javon Best to be a part of his program next year? Certainly. Who wouldn't? But at the same time, if they feel like they could blossom elsewhere, I'm sure Tom Izzo is going to support that. And you cannot be mad at that as much as many Spartan fans out there want to be.
Yeah, you can't fault them for doing what's best for them, because this is their future career. You talk about whether they make the NBA or not, but such a broader scope than that even. They could go abroad and play overseas, make a lot of money over a couple of years, and then retire for the rest of it. And not to speculate, these guys might be absolute geniuses, the next Albert Einsteins, but a lot of athletes don't necessarily put the stock that they should into academics, meaning that there's no fallback plan if this doesn't work out. And you're not going to get a pro gig anywhere playing 5 minutes a game on a top team. You might be just as good as the star on one of these mid-majors that makes a run. But you're on one of the top teams, and they just haven't seen enough from you to actually merit you getting a big contract or a big chance in the NBA. So that's why you go to a smaller team, because it gives you the visibility to keep that dream alive, to see what you can do. It gives you more of a perspective on, man, do I have a chance at the next level? Mm-hmm. So that's what these guys are going after. And then I also think it points to these different hints or possibilities of the incoming players or the staying players for MSU. Because these guys, if they would have stayed, first off, both have their position sort of covered by Nick Ward and Miles Bridges, incoming freshmen. But Deontay Davis, too, the chances of him leaving, if you ask me, are almost decreased by this, because these are two guys who he would have taken away playing time from. Meaning that I think they factor all of these decisions into mind, like who else is going to be competing for my job, and they might not think that Deontay Davis or Josh Jackson is, but I bet that they do think one of the two is.
Yeah, and the thing is about Deontay, again, we don't know what's going through his head. The big factor about Deontay right now is listening to NBA scouts out there and figuring out where he would go through their eyes when it comes to this upcoming NBA draft. Because if Deontay Davis is a top 20 pick in the NBA draft, I can't blame the guy for leaving. But again, I'm sure it's going to cross his mind that now that, you know, a Javon Best is leaving, now that a Marvin Clark Jr. is leaving, okay, I don't have to, even though I don't think he had to worry, period, because I think Deontay is arguably the best man, best big man on this roster right now.
Definitely.
But at the same time, it does give him even more security in knowing that he will be that premier guy down low. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Call in to be a part of today's show. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Vince Ellis, Detroit Pistons beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. He will break down the playoff push in the late season for the Detroit Pistons. That and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, we are taking your calls on the transfer of now former Michigan State men's basketball players Marvin Clark Jr. and Javon Best. Even on Spike Arbrick. I mean, Spike, a guy who, of course, decided to call it a career at U of M. A guy who was so fun to watch for the Maize and Blue. I just loved his toughness. You know, Spike Arbrick was a fun player to watch out in Ann Arbor. Definitely going to miss watching him play in the Maize and Blue. But, you know, he's not done with his college career. He's decided to transfer as well. Again, recovering from double hip surgery. And, you know, he's not going to let that injury define him. So we'll be taking his talents elsewhere. What do you think about the transfers of Spike, of Javon, and of Marvin? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I'm getting comments on, you know, with people asking me, our listeners out there asking me, what do I think Mr. Josh Jackson is going to do? And first off, you know, just looking at how that roster would look, Isaac, I mean, you talk about, okay, if Josh Jackson decided to commit to the Michigan State men's basketball team, you throw in, so you have Josh Jackson, Miles Bridges, Josh Langford, Cassius Winston, and Nick Ward. Is that your starting five, do you think? Or do you throw Deontay? I think maybe
Deontay Davis gets in there. Because Nick Ward's a four-star.
Right.
So maybe you go with Deontay since he was a five-star and
right.
is tenured 1 year. Just my take.
And I think, you know, you look at, you know, what the bench would look like. So you have what Aaron essentially come off the bench. Or I think maybe even Aaron could work his way into that starting role
as well. Aaron might be able to start at point guard. He's shown some
possibly
of those skills last year. So who knows? Yeah.
That's crazy, though. So I'm getting a lot of questions. It's going to be a crazy roster. And time is certainly going to have to be pulling out his hair in a good way, finding out where to plug certain players, what his starting five will look like, much like this this past year, I will say. There's a few factors that weigh in this whole thing. And I had mentioned how, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but now it's starting to get reported because you heard the reporter in our beginning show montage talk about how Josh Jackson's girlfriend, Kirstie Gondrzik, who is the best high school girls baller in the nation, she was actually listed as the Gatorade Player of the Year, National Player of the Year in girls high school hoops this year. She was also Miss Basketball for the state of Michigan. But Kirstie is dating Mr. Josh Jackson, and Kirstie, of course, will be taking her basketball talents to Ann Arbor with the Michigan Wolverines next year. Fantastic player, and you know, it didn't hit me until I saw Josh in the crowd along with Cassius and Miles, and I'm sitting there saying, hey, I know that young woman is sitting next to Josh, and it happened to be Kirstie. And of course, Kirstie's sister, Calabria, balls out for Susie Merchant's women's basketball team. So, you know, you never know what's going through the young mind of a kid, but you know, he's got his girlfriend, he's got his honey that's going to Michigan. You know, you would think, you know, I'm sure that the thought is crossing his mind that, man, I want to be close to my girl, maybe I'll go to Michigan State. What do you think about that?
It's funny that these things factor in.
They do, right?
High-level athletes.
You have to be a psychologist, not only just a reporter around when you talk about recruiting, right?
Well,
crazy.
It's funny because my mom and dad always used to tell me, don't follow a girl to college, you know? And I mean, I agree with that advice, actually, if there's anybody listening. But for Josh Jackson, no, it's a factor. You've got three of the most desirable basketball schools in your last remaining option. So, yeah, not a bad option no matter what. And I read an article which he stated in that he's got the best relationship with Sean Miller, Arizona coach, although I'm surprised after that sweating fiasco. But even so, he said Kansas has the best fans in the nation. And then he gave MSU props too because he also, of course, has the connection and is one of his best friends is Cassius Winston. So he's got that home feel and family with MSU. So it'll really be interesting. All schools have their own draw and appeal for him.
That is very true. And actually, you know, the coach out there, he talked about that sweating fiasco with Josh, and he joked about it a little bit. So I found that pretty funny during that interview as well. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, I want to give big props to two basketball players at Michigan State currently, not one formerly now, in Denzel Valentine. But Denzel Valentine, of course, as expected, has been named among 10 players chosen for the John R. Wooden Award All-American team. How about that? Malcolm Brogdon of Virginia, Buddy Hield of Oklahoma, Bryce Johnson of North Carolina, Tyler Ulis of Kentucky, and Denzel Valentine of MSU are among those 10 chosen for the John R. Wooden Award. So very cool stuff. It's expected, but I think with the way, and we had this conversation on yesterday's show, with the way that Buddy Hield is playing right now, on this type of stage in the NCAA tournament, his team getting to the Final Four, and the numbers he's putting up is so crazy, so redonkulous, that it's going to be very hard not to give that Wooden Award to Buddy Hield. And I think Valentine is a victim of circumstance when having this conversation, because if Denzel Valentine, I can't help but have this thought, if Denzel Valentine would have went deeper in the tournament and had the same stage that Buddy currently has, then hey, I think we would be making a case for Denzel as well for that Wooden Award. But again, you know, Denzel did not perform his best on the game's biggest stage in the NCAA tournament. He had 6 turnovers. Not a great game. Not a great game for Denzel. That ultimately is going to hurt him, and I think Buddy Hield is going to take home that piece of hardware. But, you know, hey, impressive nonetheless. Impressive nonetheless. And again, the team was announced yesterday, and the others are Grayson Allen of Duke, Chris Dunn of Providence, Perry Ellis of Kansas. How great was Perry Ellis in this tournament as well, huh? And Yogi Ferrell of Indiana, and also Georges Niang of Iowa State. Now, all 10 members of the team have maintained, and this is what I find very cool as well, because I think far too often we ignore the student part of the student athlete, but all 10 members of the team have also maintained at least a cumulative 2.0 grade point average and are making progress toward graduation. Two components of the word that were insisted upon the late UCLA coach, John Wooden, who you can make a case for as the greatest basketball coach of all time. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our guest right now, Vince Ellis, Detroit Pistons beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. He's going to break down the late playoff push for the red, white, and royal blue. Vince, it's good to have you on. How you doing?
It's going good. A pretty day down here in Detroit. The sun's out. Upper 40s, low 50s. Probably going to be cold at night, but hey.
Right.
But it's beautiful right now, so let's just roll with that.
Definitely. It's beautiful, man. I can't wait till we start nipping at the 60s on a regular basis, man. So, all right, Vince, I want to start by talking about this playoff push, though. And it's going to get very interesting as the season moves on for the Pistons. Of course, they take on the Thunder at home tonight. Then on Friday, they play the Dallas Mavericks. They hit the road for a three-game road trip against the Bulls, Heat, and Magic. And it's so crazy because if you look at the standings right now, of course, the Detroit Pistons sit in the eighth seed with the Wizards and the Bulls nipping at the Pistons' heels right now. How do you think the Pistons will fare in this tough stretch of basketball when they play those big-name teams late in the year?
Well, it's a tough schedule. I can just tell you, I have no idea how they're going to fare. I mean, no one has a read on this team yet. Just when I thought they were dead, when they lost those five games in a row and they went to Cleveland, right after their trade deadline, and they won in Cleveland. So anyone who tells you they know what's going to happen, they have no idea what's going to happen. So I'm not going to insult the intelligence of your listeners by telling them like I know what's going to happen. So
right.
So maybe I could tell you some keys to what's going to happen down the stretch. Obviously, Reggie Jackson's got to be playing a little bit more consistently maybe than he has been. He's had a really good season, but obviously in the first year point guard, he still has up and down nights. Andre Drummond needs to bring the energy on a consistent basis, and they need to keep sharing the ball. They really, ever since Tobias Harris has been inserted into the starting lineup, they've really done a really good job of moving the ball around, moving from side to side. The stuff that you hear coaches talk about all the time, they've done it really well since he's been in the starting lineup. So if that stuff happens, they may have a good shot.
Now, Vince, you know, I'm watching this team all year, and I'm sure you can attest to this as well. There have been times where the Detroit Pistons have looked completely awesome on both sides of the basketball, defensively and offensively, finding a groove, and it just seems like the effort is in tune. But then there's been times where I've watched the Pistons just kind of just take off quarters. You know, they just struggle to find a consistent groove on both sides of the basketball. What's been your assessment of that, and is that pretty much all mental for this team?
Well, I mean, I would ask you this question. I'll turn it back on you. Where have they been for the last 5-6 years?
As far as what?
What kind of team have they been for the last 5-6 years?
They've struggled to find an identity, in my opinion, Vince. It's hard to put
finger
on that.
What has their record been in the last 5 or 6 years? What are they? What? They've been a bad franchise.
Oh, of course. Right. I mean, they haven't made the playoffs since, what, 2009? Yeah.
Yes. My point is, if they were a consistent team, they'd be the Atlanta Hawks or the Charlotte Hornets, but they're not there yet. So they're a growing team that's going through the type of stuff you think. You know, they have to learn how to win. They have to learn what playoff basketball is all about. They have to learn, go through this stuff. So, you know, I know it's kind of confounding and fans don't want to hear that, but they are what they are. Mm-hmm. And to expect them to turn from being one of the worst teams in the NBA into being one of the best teams in the NBA overnight, and let's be frank about it. If they were the Atlanta Hawks or Charlotte Hornets, they'd be one of the best teams in the NBA right now. And they're not that. They are a team that look to challenge for a playoff spot. And you know what? They're doing that. So from that perspective, they are on schedule. They've reached their they set a goal to come into going into the season to challenge for a playoff spot, and they've reached that goal. Now the fan wants it all now. You know, they don't want that patience. They don't want to go through that learning process. But that's just the way this stuff works.
Right, and there's no question. I mean, when you look at, you know, the bottom tier of those teams that are currently sitting in with the 6th through 8th spots of the Eastern Conference right now, I mean, the Eastern Conference has gotten better this year, without a doubt, Vince.
And I would say this as well, but, you know, even though they have made progress, you know, right now, 8 games left or 2.5 games up, if they don't make the playoffs, it would have to be a disappointment. And you would think they didn't reach really their full potential.
Right.
But right now they're in the driver's seat, so we just got to see how the next 8 games play out.
Vince Ellis, Detroit Pistons beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Now, Vince, when looking at, you know, this battle for those last few spots in the Eastern Conference as the season hits this final stretch of basketball, I mean, you know, I mentioned teams like, you know, the Washington Wizards, the Chicago Bulls, Hornets, the Pacers. Is there any edge that the Pistons have, if any, over those teams right now?
Well, you know, I don't know if they really have an edge over those teams. You know, they're hard to read again. You know, like they said, they're if they beat the Dallas Mavericks Friday, they'll be 8-0 against 9-6 seeds in the Western Conference. But they can't. They're 1-2 against the Wizards. They're 0-3 against the. I'm sorry. They're 1-2 against the Knicks. They're 0-3 against the Wizards. So I don't. I mean, can you pick out like how they have an edge in this team? Again, that's stuff that. I hate to, like, tell you, I don't know, but I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? Nobody knows this stuff.
Exactly. It's so true. And, you know, Vince, you wrote a great article about KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, getting consideration for all defensive honors. Can you talk about that growth of KCP's game? Because he's always been able to put the basketball in the rim, but he has making some great strides on the defensive side of the basketball.
Well, I would say defense has been pretty much the one thing he could do probably from the day one. When he came into the league, mm-hmm. Man, in fact, the thing about the knock on him still, even to this extent, can he shoot well enough to stay in the starting lineup? You know, he showed growth there last year, and he shot like 34-35% from three. This year, actually kind of regressed when it comes to 3-point shooting, but his overall shooting percentage is up, so he's doing more things than just jacking up three. He is getting to the rim a little bit. He's showing a little playmaking ability. So, you know, but the one thing he did have in the beginning, though, was a defensive ability and a defensive will. He's one of those guys that doesn't like playing defense. So this is something he has to work on. He's really good guarding guys on the ball. Like, say, his best defensive performances have come against guys like Russell Westbrook, as the article detailed earlier this year. The job he did against Steph Curry earlier this year. In Golden State, even though Steph Curry gave him the business at the Palace.
Who doesn't Steph Curry get a business to, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, these guys are great players. So it'll be nice if the great offensive players are going to get the better of him. But the guys that still has to get he still has to get better at chasing guys around screens and stuff. He tells you people like J.J. Redick, Kyle Korver, or some of the guys he doesn't like really guarding it much because they're constantly running around those screens and they're tough because you. It's tough to know when they're going to get the ball. It's those running around on those picks can be painful running into a pick. So he has work to do, but obviously, third year in the league, he has a lot to work with when it comes to defensive end. He has a lot of talent there.
Now, you know, when you mention guys like KCP and, of course, Stanley Johnson, Reggie Jackson, I mean, what do you think of this guard core for the Detroit Pistons and what Stan Van has been able to do with that core?
I think he has potentially a really good one when you look at, especially the athletic one. Reggie Jackson, you know, evidently he has his detractors. And even, you know, he dribbles the ball too much. There are times he tends to maybe shoot a little too much, hold on to it a little bit too much. But, you know, again, first year starting, full-time starter. I don't think it's necessarily something that comes natural to him, mm-hmm. worrying about, you know, trying to get other people involved. So it's one of those things. He has an eternal point guard struggle of being aggressive, but being overly aggressive and to the detriment of your teammates. So he still doesn't know how to walk that line. That's a lot of great point guards. The guy he's going up against tonight, Russell Westbrook, he's walked that line his whole career, and it seems like this year has been the best year, his best of this year. So Russell Westbrook's been one of the top 10 players in the league for a while now. So it's a constant battle there. But, you know, KCP is an athletic, quick, fast guy. Sonny Johnson is a big, athletic guy. So, you know, they particularly have one of the better, more athletic, more long. That stuff you want out of a backcourt, you know, when you say we want big guys and stuff back there. And it looks like the Pistons have got some good players back there for the future.
And, of course, when you look at the front court for this team as well, Vince, I mean, of course, Andre Drummond, he's a walking double-double machine. But you look at the trade with Tobias Harris, which has been so impressive, so impressive. That's really been, you know, one of the things that have stood out to me. I thought it was a genius trade by Stan Van in acquiring Tobias Harris with this team. And then, you know, Morris as well, he's a great player to add to that core as well. And I kind of ask you, not just about, you know, the front court, but also when it comes to, you know, the Hacker Drummond that you see a lot, you know, late in games, there are close games. What are your thoughts on the Hacker Drummond? Of course, it started with the whole Hacker Shaq situation back in the day. What are your thoughts on that technique in basketball? And do you see the NBA doing something about that in today's game?
Well, you know, Adam Silver pretty much said, you know, after being on the fence or, you know, being kind of sort of against doing anything, I think probably what changed his mind was that night the Rockets basically fouled Andre like five times in the first 10 seconds of the second half. Mm-hmm. And he saw, okay, this thing is getting ridiculous. That's to an extreme level. The idea of turning a game into a free throw shooting contest like that is farcical. And, you know, it's obviously something that needs to be adjusted. You know, and people will say, well, how can you change the game for just one person? Well, that was for a couple guys. But that being said, they changed the rules for George Mike, and they changed the rules for they've done that before. They've changed the rules before because of only a couple of rare instances. Then there's people who talk about, well, and you need to learn how to make your free throws. And I would say to those folks, who's the best player in the NBA right now? Let's say Steph Curry. Let's say if you think Steph Curry is the best player in the NBA. Would you pay good money to watch Steph Curry go shoot 100 free throws at a basketball game? Would you?
No, not
that
at all.
It's not good basketball. Come on. And folks are being stupid when they sit there and say they shouldn't do anything. Of course they can. It's all about pace of play and making your game entertaining. And you know what? Leagues adjust to things. Coaches are rightfully doing it. I'm not saying anything's wrong with the coaches doing it. Yeah, they're explaining the rule. They're taking advantage of it. Of course they need to do that. But it's the league's job to see, okay, this is not pleasing to the eye. This is not pleasing to fans. We need to adjust that rule. It's that simple.
Very true. Vince Ellis, Detroit Pistons beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Vince, before I get you out of here, sure. I got to ask this, my man. Why didn't the Dontas Motiejunas trade not go through? Because he's crying foul right now when it comes to whatever happened that, you know, with the whole quote-unquote failed physical. And, you know, I guess now the league is going to look into it. Is that fair or foul for Dontas to bring that up? What happened there?
Well, I mean, you understand why he's upset. He's got to be a free agent.
Right.
And the idea his back is sore. I mean, his back's not good or there's an issue with his back will depress his value. The rules say the Pistons can check your medical records out. They looked at him over. They saw something there that made them question giving him a 4 or 5 year, $12 million a year contract this year. And, you know, they're not sitting around with voodoo dolls hoping his back goes out. It's just that they didn't think it was worth the risk.
Right.
And this is not the first trade to ever be rescinded. Now, the public nature of it, he might have an issue with it because we all know what it was. But, I mean, even though he's saying that the Pistons maybe are too public with why they rescinded the trade, I mean, the guy missed multiple games this year because of back pain. We're not stupid. He had two back surgeries within the last year. I mean, we would have known what it was for.
Right, so, exactly.
I understand why he's upset. I understand why the players union might look into it because, again, one of their members may have been wrong. They may not have maybe wrong's not the word, but his value's been depressed. And, you know, and that's their job is to, like, hey, were the Pistons on the up and up? And it's within their rights to investigate it. But I mean, it's pretty simple. They didn't think what they saw with his back might not be worth mm-hmm. A long-term commitment, you know. And that's not – they're not hoping he, like I said, his back goes out. But, you know, and he, who knows, he might play for the next 10 years and have a problem. Because, you know, doctors, that's why people have second and third opinions and stuff, because doctors look at information and they view it different. The Pistons had two sets of doctors looking over, and, you know, and they said, this is what we see. And you know what? They looked at it and they said, okay, you know what? Maybe this is something we don't want to go forward with. It's pretty simple, actually.
Vince, last question. Does Golden State break the Chicago Bulls record of the 90s?
I would say at this point, I was one of those guys that was skeptical, but I mean, come on, like 7-2 the last 9 games. It looks like they're about to do it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does look like it.
I'm not really going out on a limb there, you know.
That's true.
They're going to break it in style. They're going to break it and still be a rest guy for a couple of games.
Exactly. It's going to get very interesting, I tell you that. But right now, they're playing so well that, hey, I wouldn't be surprised either way. All right, again, Vince Ellis, Detroit Pistons beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. You can catch his work at freep.com. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Vincent_Ellis56. Vince, thanks so much, my friend. You have a good one, all right?
Take care, guys.
All right. How about that? All right, let's hit our second break. Really brief second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports with Tickle Tuesday. And, of course, we do have a caller on the line, Ray from Indiana. That's always a thrilling call. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. 3 minutes left in the show. I have one Tickle Tuesday for you. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Carmelo Anthony of the New York Knicks says he was momentarily shocked when he felt someone grasping at his thigh as he stood near the top of the key in the final minute of the New York Knicks' 99-91 loss to the New Orleans Pelicans on Monday night. He saw a young boy who had somehow slipped through courtside security to give him a hug. His instinct was to react with an affectionate pat on the head. How cute is that? Did you see that?
I did. I saw it live. It was a great moment.
You know,
and
that kid needs a butt whooping.
No security guards went and chased him down or anything like that. A little kid.
That kid needs to be grounded. He needs to be grounded, though. I mean, because he ran out past security, but very cool moment, though, in sports, though, right?
Definitely.
Carmelo had the right response. All right. Well, let's go to our final caller of today's show. We've got Ray from Indiana on line one. Ray, how you doing?
Yeah, did you hear what that knuckle brain owner Jim Irsay said about concussions last night?
No, I did not.
He said getting a concussion is like taking an aspirin.
It's like taking an aspirin.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
He meant like, you know, you might have a side effect to aspirin, but I may not. I'd like somebody put a football helmet on him, let somebody hammer him in the head, see how he feels after he gets done.
Yeah, and you know what, Ray? We had the conversation about the NFL during their report about, you know, when doing research about how concussions, you know, affect its players or not, to try and see if there's any line drawn between the two. They decided to not include 100 concussion reports, and that's a lot of reports not to include. So I just find it absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it gets me that there was a guy from the NFL went in Congress and said, yeah, there is a link to it. And then
exactly.
Jerry Jones and this Irsay both said, no, it ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right. They have no idea what they're talking about.
No, they're owners. They're crazy. Hey, any word on Tiger Woods? Next week's the Masters. I haven't heard a thing.
I've seen a few articles on Yahoo Sports, concerning Tiger, even one on SI this morning. But I'm not sure if Tiger is going to play in the Masters. That's the big question right now. I haven't seen anything. Have you seen anything, Isaac, concerning Tag?
Have not. No, like I said, Ray, I think he's waiting out and letting the drama build for all of us.
Yeah, I don't think he's come out and said anything. So
he better not, unless he's had a lot of practice, because that course will embarrass him. There's a lot of greens that are got a lot of fast breaks to them and everything. If you got your game together, you better not try to play it.
Very true. All right, Ray, we got 45.
One other thing.
Ray, we got 40 seconds left.
Okay, State, I know it's hard for you guys to take, Yeah. But remember one thing.
Okay.
He went down and beat the Bullies by 18 points, and that same guy that won on the last second block punt just
Ray,
had that same experience.
We got to go, Ray.
That's worth $1 million.
Oh, thank you so much, Ray. All right, we're out of time, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care and be easy, people.